Support for this podcast and the following message comes from the MBA program at Endicott College's Van Loan School. Get the skills, tools, and advanced knowledge you need to advance your career. The Van Loan School's MBA program offers personal advising, flexible schedules, and competitive tuition. Classes are available on-site in Beverly and Boston, Massachusetts, or 100% online. No GMAT required. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/MBA.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Block Talk Radio with Suzanne Northrup. It is a Monday evening. We're almost quite at the beginning of November here. I would say the month of giving thanks. And besides the obvious of the month of giving thanks and all the wonderful things that sort of happen at this time of the year, it's always important for me because, I take great pride in all my guests that I have on my shows. But I know that certain times of the year, particularly obviously when we come into Thanksgiving, we're coming to that time right before families and holidays and gatherings of all sort of sorts. So I kind of thought that my guest tonight would be sort of perfect to sort of fit within that category because it is really about giving thanks, and I would have to say he's done more in his part of giving thanks to really, really kind of being there and sort of like helping what I would say, you know, leave his mark on what we call really ultimately giving thanks is all about. So that I'm really excited to share him with you. But in the meantime, just the other couple quick things here. I want to sort of like give everybody sort of like some heads up. First of all, I just did my last two one benefit of event that I just did at XLO in Massachusetts, which I you know was dedicated to the Lupus Foundation, which is a huge success, which I'm extremely excited about. We did a great job, and we had another foundation out on the Cape. So both of those events were really, really, really nice, and it was quite wonderful to spend two times or two events. But for all of you, I keep getting my new emails about the tickets, of course, now are on sale, and I will be coming up this week and coming up to the ARE Foundation, a Research and Enlightenment, of course, of Virginia Beach. And then, of course, I'll be doing my Hope for the Holidays, my yearly, I think this is like 11 years, in Roanoke, Virginia. So this is quite, for me as well, the month of sort of like giving thanks and having what I would call the gratitude that we should all really be sort of feeling in our life. But we're gonna get to sort of that, more of that with my guests. So in any case, my newsletter that just sort of came out talked a little bit about this, and I think we discussed my guests is sort of like coming up. So again, I'm as always very, very thankful and gratitude for my great guests and those that call into the radio show. And I have to say, it was actually quite nice this last couple of weeks. There were actually a few people who came up to me who went to the event that said that they listened to the show every month, which is great. So it makes me really, really, really happy, and I'm thrilled to have some very, very special guests. This is kind of like not an unusual guest for me in one way, but in another way it is. But I came upon his story through a few of the publicists that, you know, that are always, like, sort of sending me stories, and I get sent a lot, so of course, a whole lot in terms of, you know, books that are written. But I looked at his story, and I thought, like, this is really cool. And it's not only really cool, but I thought, like, what a great story to share for Thanksgiving. And you'll see as we sort of, like, we go along with it. But the author is called Kevin Hancock, and the book is called Not for Sale, Finding Center in the Land of Crazy Horse. And crazy horse should be a very key word to letting you know what we're going to sort of like talk about tonight. Kevin is, he actually is a Mainite. We were discussing this just earlier today. He actually lives in Maine, and he's like sixth generation for his country, his company called Hancock Lumber, which obviously with six generations means that he's been doing it for a really, really long time. And it's considered to be one of the best places to work in Maine award. of what she's gotten for many for her family's business. And I don't even need to tell you to have a company go for six generations, and not only that, to be unbelievably have loyal people says an awful lot about somebody who's running the company. I don't need to tell you that. We don't need to go any farther on that road. But anyway, he's chairman of the National Lumber and Building Materials Dealers Association, as well as the Brighton Academy Board of Trustees. He's had a lot of awards, of course, a lot of humanity awards, which you will see as well as we go here. But he's managed to really sort of like keep some very special things going in his family. He shares some of the ups and downs, which you have to do as a CEO, and some of the things that sort of like transpired for him from 2008 to 2010, of which all these things he should be, I feel, quite proud of. But I would have to say that probably one of his accomplishments that he has that is extremely dear to his heart, which makes it very, very appropriate for us to be coming into Thanksgiving, is his devotion to the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota. And that's what this really book is about. And it's really about Not For Sale, Finding Center in the Land of Crazy Horses. And if there's anybody who really has not only lived with the Native people and has really shared, he's done some quite wonderful things about it. And we're going to talk about his center and how he sort of started this journey here. And I think he had... my understanding, he sort of had a very strong leaning to the Native world of South Dakota, Wyoming, all that whole western area, and then his mom, which we'll talk about, surprised him with his astrological innovation reading, which I think that's actually pretty cool for mom to do that. So that sort of says it all. So welcome to the show, Kevin.
Suzanne, hello. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be with you this evening.
Great. Wonderful. So, I sort of like gave you a quite wonderful sort of like intro, but, you know, before putting the cart to the horse, I know that, like I said, your mom had given you your astrology reading, which somewhere really sort of like, I think, led you to something to start seeking maybe outside of what you would call sort of your circle, although you always had these inclinations about going out west and what that kind of meant for you. So kind of give us kind of an idea of like sort of like, I mean, you know, one thing is having a fascination with something in life. The next thing is like picking up, you know, and getting in a jet plane in an airplane and going from the East Coast to the West Coast in the middle of like Native land and really kind of like finding this unbelievable new pulse in your life.
You know, for sure, there's a lot there. Should we start with evolutionary astrology, do you think, or should we start with the reservation and
well,
how
the
I got there?
That, you know, where's the cart to the horse? I mean, it's just sort of like something inspired you to do that, and I'm sure that your mom, doing your chart really obviously added a whole new dimension, which I think probably you might not have thought about. Or maybe it sort of like add to it. But I'm going to just do an insert here. By the way, the number to call is 347-945-7785, 347-945-7785. If you have questions for Kevin, and, of course, you do know the last 15 minutes or so I will be devoting to sessions. So if you're on the line, stay there and hang on and enjoy us in the meantime. But that is the number to call in. So go for it, Kevin.
Okay. Yeah. So two things really combined to get me to stop, sit still, think, and listen. And that's really what helped me find my way to Pine Ridge. The first was in around 2008, my mom had given me a evolutionary astrology reading as a gift. It just came in a CD. It was from a woman that I'd never met, and I'd never heard of evolutionary astrology before. But it's a really interesting approach to thinking about who you are. So evolutionary astrology believes that really three things. One, that everything that lives, has lived or shall live, is interconnected. It's all made up of the same stardust, if you will. It's all made up of the same particles. And that stardust has a mission, and that mission is it wants to evolve. It wants to learn, and it wants to grow, and it wants to evolve over time, whether you are a tree or a lion or a human. And that as to humans, this is kind of the big step for evolutionary astrology. As to humans, the notion is that the soul is the being and the body is a vessel, which really changed the way I thought about myself and the way mm-hmm. I thought about people around me. And that souls have multiple incarnations across time for the purpose of learning and evolving and growing, and that it is a soul's journey, and that therefore to understand a soul's journey, you've got to sit still and contemplate your own soul, which can be a scary thing to do and an easy thing to not do in a 24/7 internet wired, bigger, better, more world. So I
right.
had a reading
also
done.
A wonderful thing to do.
yes,
much,
no, exactly.
Much of my listening audience would validate that, you know, this is what we talk about when I have my show on a monthly basis, is all of these things that you're sort of like saying. So that's why I was crediting you at the beginning, because you're right, a lot of people, they have thoughts about it, and, you know, they intermittently may go through their brains, but to do the actual action is a whole kind of other program.
No, it is. And so I've come to believe that that everyone should just kind of pretend they're an evolutionary astrologist, even if it's a leap
mm-hmm.
for you, because the things you would do if you thought about your soul that way are really, really healthy. And then just to add to that, so the second thing that happened in 2010, at the peak of the housing market collapse, when I was trying to help lead our lumber company through that big, big economic adjustment period, I began to have trouble speaking, and when I went to talk, all the muscles in my throat would spasm and squeeze and contract, and my voice got very, very broken and weak and hard to hear, and what's worse for me, talking felt like it took a major athletic feat just to push out a few sentences. It left me sore, dizzy, out of breath, and not wanting to say very much, and after searching around doctors for the better part of a year, I finally ended up at the Mass Eye and Ear Clinic in Boston and was diagnosed with spasmodic dysphonia, a rare neurological voice disorder with no known cause, no known cure, that affects only speech. And the short outcome, the simple outcome of acquiring that disorder is that too made me sit still and be quiet more often, and think differently about leading, for sure, leading, because I couldn't talk all the time. And the combination of the astrology reading. Yeah, the combination of the astrology reading.
A CEO of a country, a CEO of a company, that you know, that's what you do. I mean, that's what you do as a leader of your company. You are constantly, you know, advising and talking and doing all the things that you one have to do to all of a sudden kind of be somewhat stripped of that. Had to be, I'm sure, pretty intense.
Yeah, it was really scary. It was really scary at first because I didn't know what I would do, and I thought it might even cost me my ability to do my job, but my instincts took over, and it got pretty simple and powerful. When you can't always talk, you listen.
Right.
I got really, really good at listening. I got really good at asking questions, answering a question with a question, inviting others to lead, and eventually sharing the stage with everyone around me. And it didn't take very long to realize that was a much more powerful way to lead to begin with. I'll give you one quick example. You know, people would come to me with a problem or a question, and because I knew I wasn't going to be able to give a long answer, I started defensively to protect my voice, simply saying, "That's a great question. What do you think we should do?" And guess what I found out, Suzanne, when I started asking that question? People knew what to do. They had great answers and great ideas already. They just needed someone to listen or validate or support them. And so I would listen, and then I would say, "That sounds great. Let's do that." And off that person would go, he or she responsible for implementing mm-hmm. their own idea to solve the problem or the challenge. And I've since come to think that all organizational leaders for a while.
Right. Can you imagine if every CEO of every company did that? Oh, my God. Not to mention the fact it's thinking about, you know, when we talk about a voice and really, really listening, we seem to be, you know, in the thick of that right now in our country. So this is really – you know, and I know you talk about it in your book about it being, and I've found this to be true of so many people who encounter difficulties that they're confronted with, that, you know, not that we really want to go through them, but, you know, it's almost like you're glad that you did go through them because it really, really turned you around. And I would have to say it probably was actually very instrumental in terms of you being involved with this next step in your life.
No, it was, exactly. And so I've come to see this voice disorder as a blessing. And the reason, just as an aside, the reason my voice functions like pretty normally tonight is I get a periodic Botox injection that sometimes works, and right now it's working, and I can have these, you know, periods where my voice functions pretty normally, and this happens to be one of them. But no, I wouldn't trade it. If someone said I could make it go away, I wouldn't trade it, because I've gained more from the disorder than I lost.
Right. And I would also say that, you know, from everything that I know about the Native culture, is it really is about listening. So much is just listening, being in the wind and being in the moment of the spirit. And what could be more appropriate?
No, right.
For you,
that was really, all of these things started lining up, and it was really stunning for me. So yeah, right at the essence of at least Sioux tribal spirituality is the notion of seeing, stopping and sitting still, seeing your connectivity to the great spirit that lives in all things, and looking inward for your own true voice, that which makes you, your own source of strength and purpose and inspiration. And their culture was really set up to support and celebrate the power of the individual spirit and the center, like the corporate governing bureaucratic center of the tribe, was quite small, hard even to find.
Well, I think it's interesting because I think it's probably true among all Native cultures, but you know, when I went to Africa, one of the things that I actually ended up getting there was called the talking stick, which I know is also true to the Native people. And the talking stick is that, you know, you hand the talking stick to another person to speak, and then they hand it to someone else to speak. So it's like everybody really has to be in respectful of whatever is said. And it's so crazy, but it's like, you know, sometimes I'm not a huge television watcher in general, but when you watch certain, you know, commentaries, they're like arguing on top of each other. It's like you can't hear anything. It's like they really need a talking stick. I keep thinking, like, they really need a talking stick. It's really true if you think about it, right?
No, it is. I should probably explain, too, how it was I got Pine Ridge, because that might be a missing piece. Should I just describe that quickly?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I had the reading, the evolutionary reading, and then I lost my voice during the housing crisis. And then by 2012, the economy had stabilized, and I could see that our company, my tribe, if you will, was going to be healthy and good and safe. And I had a growing feeling at that time, Suzanne, which I fought but couldn't resist, that I needed to take some time to focus on myself a little bit more, to regain my balance or search for my voice, if you will. And I'd always had a love affair with the American West and American history during the second half of the 19th century, when our nation's quote-unquote Western expansion ran into the Plains Indians. So that summer, in August, I picked up a copy of National Geographic, and the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in the southwest corner of South Dakota was the cover story. And the cover read something like the rebirth of a Sioux Nation in the spirit of Crazy Horse. And a young Lakota boy was riding a pony bareback across a rolling plain. And I read that article, and it was as if every spirit, past or present, ever connected to that story came out of that yellow magazine and hugged me and pulled me in a way I'd never felt before. And I literally finished the article, leaned over towards my wife, who was sitting beside me, and said, "I'm going to go there. I want to see what modern day life is like for the people that live there." And I organized a trip, which became two trips and five. And then I was just there last week for the 10th time. And a journal that I was keeping when I went on the first trip kept building into a story a book that I wanted to write and then decided to share. And all of those things just came from listening to an impulse that I had. And as scary as it was to be a kind of a CEO in the prime of his career, kind of jotting off 3 or 4 times a year to this remote Indian reservation, I took a deep breath, took the leap and did it. And it, it just opened up so many amazing doors in my life that wouldn't have been there if I'd stuck to the quote unquote script I thought I was supposed to follow.
Well, I think the big thing that you did, which is what, you know, I, you know, obviously talk about so much with just in general, is that, you know, things don't fall from the sky. They happen for a reason. And the fact that you read the magazine is one thing, but more importantly is that you were acting on it. And that's what I think happens, is that we get, and I call them direct messages, you know, and it's like, it's interesting because, you know, when I discuss direct messages, to me they're from spirit, you know, you can call it the higher level of God, God consciousness, and I know that, you know, that the native people, they don't refer to religion because they think of religion as a restriction. But the thing is that every single thing is part of God. So it's the tree, it's the earth, it's the dog, it's, you know, it's, we're all part of like this. And I know one of the things, and it was interesting because you wrote about it in your book, but they all think of everything as in a circle, because in a circle everything is equal. And so it's like the fact is that this fell upon you, but you acted on it, and it was almost like that was the message. And a lot of times we all get messages, we just do not act on them. So it was just like, this obviously was so strong for me from all directions, and I can see, you know, that it obviously changed your life 360 from just going ahead and doing that.
Right. No, exactly. And I've since come to believe that seeking is the biggest step in receiving a message, to use that phrase. You know, if fewer people today are hearing and acting on messages, it's in part because perhaps fewer people are searching for them. And it's so easy in this busy, busy, go-go, outward-facing kind of material, role, task-oriented world to lose touch with that inner soul's voice, and even the notion of seeking a vision or seeking a path in your own life. It can almost seem foreign, you know, and
right,
I think that's
exactly
where indigenous communities have something that the rest of the world needs.
Right, exactly. So hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break. This is Suzanne Arthur, my special guest, Kevin Hancock, and the book is called I love the name of the book. You have to understand, I love the name of the book. Not for sale. And you can, by the way, there are many ways you can get it, but you can get it from Kevin's website as well, which is Kevin B. Hancock. And the rest of the website is?
Yeah, so it's www.kevind.
DavidHancock.com,
yes.
.com.
Or
right?
On Amazon.
And, of course, you can get
Amazon,
it on Amazon or whatever it is. But what's nice, if you get it through there, then you might even get a signed copy from Kevin, which is exactly
yes,
cool.
Yes, I sign the orders on my website.
Which is really, really nice. So, again, the number to call for questions is 347-945-7785. We'll be back in a moment with Kevin Hancock and this wonderful message about really what we call Native people, which quite honestly is not just really indigenous, just this country. It really is a lot of the world. But it is really what we call, it is more than a Wild West West story. It is really a story about the magic of the West. And we'll be back in a moment.
Thank you. This is Suzanne's website, www.suzannenorthrup.com, for all the latest news, calendar, and for any events. You can also sign up for her newsletter at www.suzannenorthrup.com. That's SUZANENORTHROP.
Welcome back with Suzanne and my special guest, Kevin Hancock. And the book is called, of course, Not for Sale. And so one of the things that I wanted to talk about is that, you know, when you were mentioning, Kevin, about how you felt really, really strong about obviously following this path, and we talked about the listening and what that kind of meant for you on this sort of on this journey.
Yeah, so listening, you know, listening came to mean first and foremost sitting still in an intentional way, listening to the whispers, as I came to describe it, of your own soul, that which makes you you. I really came to believe that we're all the same, but we're all different, and we're all each soul is here for a unique purpose, and it's our individual responsibility to seek it and do what we can to live it. And then I felt that on a broader scale, in a leadership way, that that listening was a new, it sounds silly to say new, but a new way to lead, to listen, to lead by listening, and to put the voice of others first, and to start to think of the leader's role as not being to promote his or her own voice as much as it is to make everyone else's voice feel respected, heard, and valued.
So I wanted to open up with some of this, but then I got sort of kind of involved with everything that I was reading here. But this is, I think, is these are, I'm going to sort of like, you know, will epitomize exactly some of the things that you're talking about. And some of those are these wonderful, wonderful prayers. And I just want to, you know, read a few of them because I think they're quite wonderful. And if you're all looking for sayings or expressions or prayers or things you might want to connect with, you'll find them throughout Kevin's book because there's some quite wonderful ones. Oh, great spirit, whose voice I hear in the winds and whose breath gives life to all the world, hear me. I am small and weak. I need your strength and wisdom. Beautiful one. Make me wise so that I may understand the things you have taught my people. Let me learn the lessons you have hidden in every leaf and rock. I seek strength, not to be greater than my brother, but to fight my greatest enemy, myself. Make me always ready to come to you in clean hands and straight eyes. So when life fades, as fading sunset, my spirit might come to you without shame. Oh, just some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful quotes. And they're really not just quotes. They're actually kind of what I call, you know, inspirations that every single person can, you know, look at them and say, yeah, that means a lot. But you have them weave throughout the book, which I've always been a big believer of anybody who does write books, and I'm one, because sometimes those few words sort of say, like, a whole lot. So let's go to, like, the next chapter from how you got from that place to where you decided to make some major decisions in your life.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I ended up, after traveling back and forth between my kind of world here in Maine and then the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota, this big, remote, poor, disenfranchised Lakota or Sioux community, I really realized eventually, maybe later than I should have, but eventually, that I was actually on my own modern-day vision quest, if you will, Suzanne, and one day alone in the Black Hills with the kind of the buffalo and the blowing grass far away from any person, that vision came to me, and it was simply this: the partial loss of my speaking voice, which I'd only ever found as a previously to be a bit of a liability, was actually a blessing and an opportunity and a calling to A, listen to my own voice more often, but B, to do what I could to help strengthen the voices of others, especially mm-hmm. those who didn't feel heard. And mm-hmm. so back home in our company, the idea was powerful to me. It was like, well, what if we could create an organization where everybody led, where every voice felt important and respected and responsible and in charge? Wouldn't an organization where everybody led outperform an organization where just a few people held all the cards in a more traditional mm-hmm. Mode? And what's more,
right.
Given the amount of right. time that we spend at work, it's such a big part of our lives, wouldn't
of course,
it create, wouldn't it add
more
meaning
work
to work?
To the person you're married to,
yeah, and to create a place where people could, where people could really grow and express themselves and test themselves and gain confidence and find their own voice. And so we've been hard at work for a half a decade now, developing organizational systems designed to push power out from the center, not collect it up, but push it out, and to more power in the hands of each individual. And we've done this through, real systems like third-party employee surveys designed to make the voice of the organization stronger, focus groups where we're really trying to gather information from the people doing the work, huddles and sharing information and all of those things. And after working at that for a few years, it really – really, really accelerated our company. We started putting up records in most every category we measure, but more importantly, we've now, as you mentioned earlier, 3 times in a row been selected as the best place to work in Maine, which is it's a national program done by state, but it's really difficult to do, especially in kind of traditional manufacturing or retailing industries, of which we're in both.
Yes.
And what I love about the award is it's 100% based on third-party confidential employee surveys. So it's got nothing to do, like with Kevin Hancock giving a talk about why he thinks Hancock Lumber is a cool place. It's all
It's really wonderful, and it's something you should be so, so sincerely proud of, because the thing is that, you know, it's really true. If, you know, the reflections of the people who people are really an illusion if you do not think that the people who represent your company are, like, not significant. Because I know, because I travel a lot and I stay in this place and that place, and I know whenever I stay in a place that somebody has gone to that extra mile or that extra yard, I will be the first person that will write to their CEO, write to the GM and say, like, you have a major employee here is, like, really important to your company. So make sure that you're aware of that. And I will ask for the GM cards, and I do that wherever I travel, because they're making my life easier, and they need to be acknowledged for that, because the company can never be one person. Nothing can be one
that's
person
such a great,
that has to do with the
that's
group.
Such
yes.
a great point. The way something I say all the time that reminds me of that, Suzanne, is this. I say, our employees don't work for Hancock Lumber. They are Hancock Lumber. That at any moment in time, an organization is the people who are there and what they do.
Yes. Yeah. But I don't know if it was the cart before the heart. I don't know if it was because that's who you are, Kevin, that you did this. I don't know if it was because of your connection extensively being drawn to a native culture, because we all know that that's very, very significant within the native, you know, philosophy as well, because we are all interconnected from the trees to the buffalo to the people, from the two-legged to the four-legged.
Right.
And that's really, you know, the kind of like basic sort of philosophy of the native thing. But I wanted to bring up, and I like I said, people that know me, I don't generally bring up what I call political things, but I don't really sort of see this as a political thing. But what I have found just recently is there has been a huge issue in the northwest of the country, of the Native people, who have been at really major odds and extremely with the TPPs, that they're going through their lands and taking their water, which is, it's not like it's right. It's called pretty basic to all of us. And from my understanding, it is the first time in history that all the Native people, which I think is really quite incredible, have all banded together to really basically fought that these people have come in and they really want to, like, they want to take the gas, they want to run their machines through there. And the Native people are really not even against that. They're just saying, like, can you do it, like, on the edge? Can you do it where you're not into our water supply, which is really not asking a whole lot. So and that was another thing I thought, Kevin, was kind of, like, very appropriate at this particular time that that I would have you on the show, because this has got to be very dear to your heart as well.
Yeah, so, no, it is. It is timely. So that's the whole, of course, that's the whole, quote-unquote, Dakota Access Pipeline project that goes near, it doesn't actually go through, but it goes near the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation, which is partly in North Dakota, partly in South Dakota, and the home of the descendants of Sitting Bull's clan. And yeah, it's a really interesting, important story for people to pay attention to. And there's an opportunity there, I think, to learn a lot and think a lot about Native American issues in the modern day. And it has brought, one of the things I really like about the protest is it's brought tribes together from all over the country, which
yes,
I think
yes.
is really good for them. And they've been speaking up, using their voice, if you will, which I think is really good for them. There are some other parts of the protest or the issue that I actually worry about for Native peoples and worry if it's been fully thought through. But it's a really important topic, and it is a good opportunity to kind of take a look at modern tribal versus state and federal jurisdiction and decision making and feeling respected and heard and all of those things, because what the winning of the West, one of the things that really opened my eyes when I was out to Pine Ridge is that what I thought was ancient history, you know, the settling of the West was still very much alive for the people on these economically depressed, severely economically depressed reservations. And the process of reconciliation or making peace for what happened and overcoming or transcending what happened has still not played out yet. And that really stopped me in my tracks to realize that there were communities still recovering from something that had happened in the second half of the 19th century.
Yes, exactly. Well, you know, there's a lot of levels, and, you know, it's called honoring. It's like on a smaller scale of your company, it's like honoring your employees, the people that make your company what they are. And if you have, you know, in this particular case, a equivalent to a treaty, which is basically a law, you know, contract, and you make it with with this group of people, and then you're not only constantly changing that contract, but there hasn't been a lot of honoring that contract. So, you know, and pretty much you would think that there could be, like, kind of a major uprising, but they haven't. They've been, you know, they're not happy with all of it, but they've tried to work in the situation the best that they can. So, again, I think that, you know, what you're doing and how obviously you were led to this path, and I know you're not the only ones, because I know, you know, some people who, you know, personally that, you know, have, you know, come down from Utah that have done their thing. There's a reason always people that are drawn to certain things. And again, it's I do believe, just like with astrological and centillary chart, and that's what it's about. And there are reasons that we are definitely drawn to one thing or another, and I'm sure it is definitely karmic based and whatever. But it's nice that we follow it, and I think what you've done is some quite wonderful things. So if somebody was to say to you, but we got to take one more break, and we'll come back, and then I'm going to ask you the question. You can think about it, Kevin. If someone was to say to you, well, Kevin, maybe it was easier for you because you were a CEO of a company, or maybe it was easier for you because of et cetera, to follow this path, but I'm not, like, in your position. So how do you think I could make a difference? Think about that. And this is Suzanne Arthur with my special guest, Kevin Hancock, Not For Sale, and we'll be back in a moment. Not For Sale, Finding Center in the Land of Crazy Horse. So, coming back to what my last question was, is that if somebody has this message, vision, thoughts about, again, they'll hear this and they may, and I don't think that's certainly true of a lot of my listeners. My listeners are very cool. But if somebody said, like, where is a place to start, and it might have been a lot easier for me to do it, what would you suggest to them, Kevin?
Yeah, so you'd talked about, you'd asked before the break if someone felt that because I was a CEO or owned or ran a company that I had more freedom to follow my voice than others might. And so, I think that's a really good question, and it's kind of the essence of my book is to revisit the notion that the external world is controlling your path, and to really think about the extent to which that's true. And if it is true, to think about charting a different course where, of course, we've got responsibilities and obligations, but we're putting our own voice first. So, for example, I just think about the people that go to Pine Ridge or reservations like it every year to help. And there are thousands that go to just be there and be connected. Rarely would you find a CEO, the people there are come from all walks of life. They're school teachers, they're young people, they're carpenters or moms or retired people. And so I think that as to a business person, it's really easy for a business executive to have their long list of excuses why they can't go because of all the responsibilities they've got to their employees, their customers, their stakeholders, their metrics, driving revenue, growing profit, bigger, better, more. A CEO, I think most CEOs would say, how could you go if you were a CEO? That would be their question to me. So
right,
we've all got,
right.
We've all got excuses, right? Why we can't
yes,
stop
exactly.
and listen and follow. And those excuses are laid right out for us if we want to use them. But I think anybody that wants to reject those excuses can put more of their own soul into their life starting right now. It's just a commitment to walk that way.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think I totally agree. And that's why I was sort of asking you because, there are many people that have these thoughts that, quote, unquote, not only not following your path, but making a difference is that, I can't do that because of all of these reasons. Well, quite honestly, most of the people who do that, they have issues just in terms of their own life where they feel like they can't, do this and do that. I learned a long, long time ago from a teacher of mine, and I've never kind of forgotten these words, and she said, if you want something done, ask somebody who's busy. Never ask somebody who's not. But you think about it, right? Because somebody who's busy is always used to, multitasking, and they know how to do this and that and whatever. But somebody who's not used to thinking that way, they can't kind of wrap their head around doing all the things that need to be done. So I think that's exactly kind of what you were intimating, and I think those are wonderful, great words of wisdom, as I would say. So where are we right now with the Pine Ridge folks?
Yeah, so the other part of, I talked a little bit, Suzanne, about how I tried to integrate what I felt I had learned back home. And then the other side of it was trying to share or encourage some of that learning at Pine Ridge, because what I really came to see at Pine Ridge was what I felt was an extreme example of what can happen when the individuals lose power and the center mm-hmm. takes too much power. Before the reservation era, when the Sioux tribes were strong and free and self-sufficient and traveled where they pleased, most of the power in their society lived with the individual. Negotiators would show up on the Great Plains, having been sent by the president in Washington, and they'd say, take me to your leader. And nobody really knew what that meant, because it didn't have the same meaning we give it today. No one spoke for everyone. No one could decide for everyone. Everyone was supposed to be their own source of truth. But after the reservation era, after the conquest and the colonization, and I do not use this word lightly, but after the genocide and after generations of working systematically to remake Indians as white people, just awful, awful things, a lot of that power that lives with the individual had been beaten down, and power now lived with the Great Father in Washington or the Bureau of Indian Affairs and so forth. And I feel I've come to believe that the people of Pine Ridge, in the values and customs and traditions of their old ways, their old indigenous ways and rights, they're holding the path forward, which is to reopen and revisit the power of their individual spirit and voices, and to realize that they, despite all the terrible things that have happened around them, all the terrible, terrible things, that they still are the source of their own salvation or freedom or strength or path forward, that it lives right in their old ways. And all of that made me think a bit differently about leadership in the Aquarian age. We've transitioned from the you know, the former age to the Aquarian age. And I think in the Aquarian age, leadership is going to really be about strengthening the voices of others. In the Piscean age that just ended, if you think about it, leadership was typically a single anointed savior led the group, whether it was the government or the church or the family.
Right.
One person spoke
right.
for everyone. But in
yeah.
the modern age, I think this is why you're seeing all the kind of chaos and friction around the world. Increasingly, individuals are no longer willing to have someone else define their own truth. They want to say what they see and say what they feel. And I think leaders today that embrace that, that celebrate the power of the symphony of all voices, are going
yes.
to create stronger organizations than those that try to cling to the old model, which is a few people speak for everyone.
I agree. I totally agree. That's wonderful. So on that note, Kevin, the book is called Not For Sale, Finding a Senator in the Land of Crazy Horse. And, of course, you can check it out with Kevin D. Hancock, H-A-N-C-O-C-K, .com. Get his book. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful book. And besides, you know, the story being quite, quite wonderful, there are, as I said, there are like little quotes here and there. And it's really true because it, I think, to me, it brings us back to what's ultimately really, really important. And that is really about respect for all of us, because there's not a human being on earth that does not want to be respected, and there's not a human being on earth that does not want to be connected to all that. And we really are. As much as we think we are separated, we're really not. We are really all interconnected, from the trees to the two-leggeds to the four-leggeds to all of that. From the east coast of Kevin from Maine and me from New York to way out there in the west, where we may be divided by, you know, whatever, you know, it's like how many thousands of acres, but in a lot of ways we are not really divided by the heart and what's important. So thank you for all you're doing, Kevin, and please take care of yourself, and this has been really quite wonderful.
Well, thank you for having me and everything you do on your show to help strengthen the voices of others. It was an honor to participate, and best wishes to you and all of your listeners and followers. Thank you, Suzanne.
You're very welcome, Kevin. You take care. So
you too.
You're welcome. So, you know, I went a little over time here, but I do believe that I actually have somebody on the line. I want to try to get to at least a couple of my callers or one. Hello, you're on the air with Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne. My name is Alicia, and
Hi, Alicia.
I really loved your – hi, and I loved your guest, Kevin Hancock, who's excellent. And I wanted to let you know that I was in the audience on November 3rd at Val's Restaurant. And you are absolutely hilarious. You are hilarious.
Well, thank
you. I was laughing so hard. and also, obviously, you did a wonderful job bringing messages to audience members, too. But you were just so funny. So,
thank you so much, Alicia. That's really nice. That's nice. Well,
yeah,
you know, I always sort of say to people, like, you know, my job is to bring as many messages as I possibly can be to people. But, you know, it is sometimes a heavy subject matter with a lot of people. And so I think that it's nice to add a little of the, you know, the humor that comes in with it,
yes.
as well as the, you know, is connecting to people. So.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
But thank you. And thank you for coming, because it was a huge success, and it's obviously, you
yes.
know, it's a big plus for the Lupus Foundation. So that's all.
Absolutely.
Everybody wins.
Yes.
So how can
completely.
I help you, my dear?
Well, I was just calling to see if any loved ones in spirit are around to say hello. To me, perhaps.
Okay. So let me ask you real quick here. I'm getting a very, very strong female vibration on your mom's side. So
okay.
would this be like your mom's mom or an aunt connected to your
yeah.
mom, please?
Got
it.
It could be my mother's
okay.
mother, yes.
Okay. Now, did you know her, Alicia?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Because was she the stronger grandmother than your dad's?
Yes.
Okay, because that's how it's coming through, so that's how I have to kind of give it. Do you understand this?
Absolutely.
She's funny, Alicia.
Yes.
She's very funny. Yes. Now, I have to tell you, she had to be very connected to your mom. I know she was connected to you, but she had to be very connected to your mom. Because she's telling me her passing, quite honestly, was a very big deal to your mom.
Yes, definitely. Yes.
Now, did she live with you guys, near you guys, within close proximity, please?
Yes, fairly close. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But she said we spent some really, really good time.
Yes, definitely.
Yes. Now, is she making reference to your mom having a brother, or is she talking about you, Alicia?
I have brothers, and my mother has a brother in spirit.
Okay. So that I'm gathering it's your mom's brother that's coming with her.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And I'm gathering this would have been a big deal to your mom.
Yes, very big deal.
Yes. Yes. Now, has he been gone a little while?
He's been gone maybe about 5 years.
Okay. So I want to ask you this, please. Did he either have, like, an odd passing or an odd illness, Elisa? Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, very rare. Cancer, very rare.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, it comes as a very strange thing, and it comes like we got kind of hit by, like, a storm door. I mean, it's like, boom, like we were hit by a storm door. And it feels like, honestly, besides you, your mom was very involved in this windstorm. And this was not a lot of fun for everybody.
No, not at all. No.
But the and so then I want to ask you one other quick thing here. He keeps pointing, Alicia, to right around now. So either the holiday was a big deal, unless it's a birth or passing he's making reference to.
Holidays were definitely a big deal for the family. I can't. I'm trying to think when he passed. He may. I can't recall the month that my uncle
passed.
That's
okay, because it's an identification. But I know that I'm very focused to this time. And usually, when I am, unless it's a birth or passing, it would intimate to me that the family was a very big deal and very significant. And guessing is he would have shared this with you, your mom, and whatever. He was very connected to your mother. I mean, like your mother was very important to him. Very important to him.
Yes.
Now,
his mom had passed
before him. Am I correct on that?
Yes, many years.
Grandma,
before.
Yeah, because he's telling me he was very connected to grandma, like your mom is very connected to grandma. And I want to say she was actually there to help bring him over. So it comes as a pretty big deal. Pretty big deal.
Yeah.
So is he talking about a younger male connected to him or your mom, please, Alicia?
Younger male as in
like a son or a nephew or something.
I have two brothers younger than my uncle.
Okay, would he have been connected to either one of those?
I mean, not all that close.
Okay, because he's talking about a younger male connection now. Unless he's talking about your mom. To one of the younger males, he definitely makes that as a reference point.
Okay.
So it had to be important on some level to that side of the family. Now, where am I hearing the T name, like a Thomas, like a Theodore, like a Tommy? There's a T-O sounding name he's giving me real strong.
Oh, gosh.
You'll think about it. It could also be
I'll definitely think about it.
But he's bringing up about that really strong. And the other nice thing is he actually liked you.
Oh, no way. That's so nice.
Yeah, it comes as a really – yeah. Okay, so we have 90 seconds left, but I'm going to give you one last thing, Alicia. Who has the black dog?
Oh, the black dog. Oh, my gosh, my father.
Okay.
Yes.
So the black dog is here.
Oh, my gosh. That's so neat. All right. That's great.
So I guess they're all hanging out together, my dear.
It sounds like it, for sure. Thank you so much, Suzanne. Thank you.
So welcome, Alicia, and really thanks for coming to the event. It was great. It was a great thing. That was my first time, like, doing a big thing in Holden, Mass., and it was just just great. Great group. Thank you so much
You're
for calling
right.
it. All right.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You take care now, my
dear. All right.
Okay.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. So, We're down to the heart of the wire, and I want to thank Kevin for being a great guest. And I know I'm sorry I don't have any time for the other callers, but as always, and next month, just by my Christmas gift to everybody will be Halister Rahm will be here, and we'll be doing a whole full night of readings. So everybody's going to get my special gift. So tune in then, December the 5th, and everybody else, yeah, here we are. It got cold sitting here by myself. I did. Yeah, well, it drops at night, you know, and it's only set at, like, you know, low.
Now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
Hardship. My grandmother would go through it every month to pay her insurance bill. First, she would handwrite a paper check, in cursive. Then, using her own tongue, she would wet a stamp for an envelope. Today, however, we need not weary our hands and tongues. Today, we can pay our GEICO bill with the GEICO app. Away with hardship, in with bill pay on the GEICO app. Thank you.